The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The expression from the music inspired me so much to take risks, and it inspired damn near the whole rap game.
Hello again, I'm Adam Unz. You may know me as the host of The Opus, and now I'm bringing my own show, The Spark Parade, to the Consequence Podcast Network. I speak with artists and creatives about the cultural artifacts that spark their personal interest and creativity, whether it's music, books, movies, video games, or any other kind of art.
I've never spoke about it in this amount of detail. I'm suddenly going, oh my God, I'm blowing my own mind here, Bryce. It's actually a giant part of my life.
By talking about the things we love, we share and discover insights into our personality and the things that drive us.
It's just magic, really. I mean, frustrating. And it makes some people angry, but I don't think anyone's ever done anything like it.
I speak with people like Connor Oberst, Phoenix's Thomas Mars, Chris Gethard, Helen Hong, Adrian Young, and more, so their sparks of inspiration can start a fire in you.
I'm grateful for those who continue to put our history and who we are as a people in the forefront and make you see it.
Find the Spark Parade wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, 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 hey! How y'all feeling?
Journey through the stories that define the artists playing Bonnaroo. Who are they? What are they? What will you see? The what? Which bands? This year, that matter.
Yay.
With Brad Steiner and Barry Corder.
A podcast for Bonnarooians by Bonnarooians. Hi, this is the What Podcast. I'm Brad. That's Barry. That's Lord Taco. I feel like I haven't seen you guys in forever. What's been happening? You guys look fresh. You look clean. You look, Barry. You look terrific. The hair is on it today.
On point. Just got it cut yesterday.
Really?
Yeah. How you guys been? Anything happened since we last talked?
Literally nothing. I mean, no. I haven't really been doing anything.
Been pretty quiet.
Russ still on the bus.
Look where I'm at. Yeah. We got the bus running. It's back home from the shop. 100% back in service.
When you get the bus running, how many miles do you think you put on in a year?
I'd have to look that up. This year, not very many. Last year, not very many.
Yeah, but you keep a log of it? Do you like a diary of your bus?
I've got a maintenance log. I've got a fuel up log, mileage. You got to keep track of that stuff.
Man, it's so organized. You guys, so organized. We got a lot of stuff to talk about today, by the way.
Yeah, we do. I'm excited.
Are
I'm
you
excited to be back talking? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know.
I know you have some news, and it's.
Well, we've got some news to share a little bit later on. We've got some personal podcast information to share. And I think that's probably where we should start. Mr. Barry Corder, you want to explain the insider podcast, what podcast family information we have?
Yeah, let's do it. First of all, we're still here. That's amazing.
Yeah.
We went through a year without a festival, and we still have a podcast.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah, we fight more often about what in the world we would talk about than we probably talk about anything else. It's fighting. And there's nothing to talk about. What are we supposed to say?
Well, let's be clear. Russ and I are all for it. You're the one who says no. And I have to, because you said we don't have anything to talk about, and I have to remind you, you do fart jokes every day on the radio. So
yeah, I mean,
your bar is not.
if that's what you want the podcast to become, I can very easily make that happen.
Oh, I got it. So you have your standards when it comes to the podcast. I like it.
Yeah, I try to give you guys my best. I try to give you my absolute best. I mean, I can talk to you about, you know, how upset I am that Ja Rule was giving financial advice on CNBC. Because who doesn't want financial advice from the Fire Festival guy? I can talk to you about how, you know, if you need doses to be given to thousands of people in a stadium parking lot, then hire fish fans. I can talk to you about a bunch of stuff, like, for instance, Reddit and GameStop, and how the GameStop nonsense has gotten completely out of control. If you want that kind of stuff, Barry, I can bring that to you, or you can listen to alt923.com each afternoon at 3 o'clock.
I think you made his point, Russ. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, let's move on. Yeah, so the big news, as some of you guys who listen regularly know, we had some pretty cool T-shirts printed up with the famous Ken Weinstein "Never Not Great" quote, yeah, which he told us on this show. Those T-shirts are awesome. We have stickers. We have koozies. Lord Taco, the Lord of what? All, tweeting and communicating online? Did I say
online?
Right?
That's right.
Nailed it.
I got it right. Created a website for us, and we're going to be selling that stuff. So you guys can...
Please go visit shop.thewhatpodcast.com. We've got our shirts. We've got our koozies. Mm-hmm. And we've got stickers. If you buy a shirt, you get a koozie and you get a sticker. And we're donating a portion of all sales to the Bonnaroo Works Fund. So you'll be directly supporting the podcast. You'll be directly supporting Bonnaroo's charitable acts that they do there. So, and you'll help clean out Barry's garage.
Yeah, no kidding. We're selling CDs next after that. You look behind Barry. So the point is here is if you know, if you want to grab some of the gear that we still have, you're more than welcome to. And with all that being said, the reason why we've got more gear to come. We're going to load up the shop with a whole bunch of new merchandise. And not just that, but some of that merchandise is going to be given to all new Patreon levels.
That's right.
We've got new Patreon levels that we're going to announce in the coming weeks. But, you know, first and foremost, let's get some of that 2020 gear moved and cleaned out so that we can give all fresh, new, brilliant, beautiful merchandise. Now,
once it's gone, because then we'll have room for a new merch. So yeah, get it while you can.
That's true.
Yeah, some product.
Yeah. So the T-shirts about the never not great thing. Just to clarify, we don't think that we're never not great. We're hardly great, but it's Bonnaroo that's never not great. Okay, it's that's right. Mentality that's never not great. We're useless half the time. But Bonnaroo, because Ken Weinstein said so, is never not great. And then you add pizza, and you've got a magical combination.
That's right. That's right. They're great T-shirts. They really wear well. They're comfortable. They mm-hmm. look cool. You'd be the first kid on your block.
So a little bit of actual festival news happened in the last couple of weeks. You have Coachella canceling and possibly moving to the fall, although I don't foresee that happening. You've got Hangout canceling and possibly moving to the fall. Don't think that's happening either. We got news here in New Orleans that Jazz Fest and Voodoo Fest will all be in October, as well as French Quarter Fest. So, you know, if you want a festival world to exist, it's going to happen in the fall if it happens. Am I missing any other festival that came through and sort of pulled the plug?
Summerfest, which is really, I think it might be bigger numbers wise, though it's over three weekends in Wisconsin, Milwaukee. It's also old. I told you the other day it's been around. It's moved to the first three weekends in September. It announces around the same time as Hangout did, so this past week or so. So yes. Going to be a busy fall if in fact everything that is supposed to happen is allowed to happen.
Well, before I get into some of the information that I've gathered over the last few weeks, you tell me what your anticipation is, Barry. What how do you feel? What are your thoughts and how we're going to look in the next 3 to 6 months?
I don't know.
What's
I think
your gut tell you?
Yeah, I think it's the same thing that we've sort of been saying, is that we will, when we start coming out, it's going to be small, it's going to be local, it's going to be regional. Definitely starting to hear some of that. But 3 months, I don't think we're there yet. 6 months, yeah, I think we're starting to. But I hesitate because it seems so contingent on this vaccine, and you know, everyone wants to believe that's the magic pill, and we're already finding out that it's not exactly, it's not available to everybody. There's still some question as to whether if you get the vaccine, does that mean you still can't give it the disease to someone else?
Yeah.
Some people want to believe that that's true. And then now they're saying, well, we did really test that, so we don't know.
All right. So, as a side note, and not to get too political here, but here's my guess. If you have a president that comes into office and his main goal, he ran on and his biggest priority in office in his first 100 days is to keep a promise of 100 million doses in 100 days. I can put every dollar that I have times two on the fact that that will happen. You're not going to get a new president in 100 days fail at his number one primary objective. Now, granted, they might make the number up, but they will get to that number, and it's going to make the public say, oh, we've got 100 million shots in 100 days, whether it's true or not. Whether you're right, left, indifferent, it doesn't matter. You're not going to get a president say, you know what, we failed on this agenda point. So it's going to ruin the entire rest of the term, right? It's going to ruin the entire whatever you want to do next. Nobody will ever take you seriously again. So you will get 100 million doses in 100 days. It's the next 100 days. If you can get to 200, 250 million doses by July 4th weekend, I really don't think that, and I'm saying this as a human being, understanding how other human beings operate, I don't see how the country, with two-thirds of it somehow vaccinated, you don't get the large swell of everything's fine now. Mentally, I think the country will say, well, we got two-thirds, let's just open everything up. And I don't know, now, right or wrong, they're going to basically say to the rest of the country, too bad.
Yeah, no.
And I totally hate to say that, but I don't think that the country as a whole is going to look at 250 million doses by July 4th or 200 million doses by July 4th and care after that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, and I agree, and I think that's part of why I hesitate. I mean, I think trying to predict it on February, whatever we want to, you know, this publishes as to what it will actually look like, I don't know yet. But I know that mentally, I think that is exactly what's going to happen. This many people are going to get the shot and feel like it's time, you know. We saw that over the holidays before the shots. So
right.
I definitely agree that that's where people's mindset's going to be. Now, if we backslide, all bets are off.
Yeah. I mean, you've got another strain coming. So enough with the politics and the depressing part of it. Here's where, first off, I think that I'll go with the informed piece that I am going to add my gut feeling to. I do not have this absolutely for sure. But I'm going to take a wild, informed stab at Tame Impala will not be at Bonnaroo. And a band that we have oftentimes speculated on being at Bonnaroo will be there.
Mm-hmm.
I'll leave it at that. Now,
let's just say I'll be happy.
With the Tame thing, you know, I'm reserving a little bit here because I think that Tame... I know that everybody's going to want to do the festival dates first. The festival dates will be the first thing that come back because they're the biggest payday. You get more money by a mile, especially the mid-tier and up bands for doing festivals than you do arena shows or club dates. So with that being said, they're going to try and make the first festival dates happen. Secondly, the clubs, everything that I have heard, are wide open come fall. They are operating as if come Labor Day, everything's going to be wide open. I'm talking not even capacity limits. I mean, that might change, but you have room after room after room on sometimes three and four deep holds for dates after Labor Day. And with that being said, the point that I'm making, and these are major artists that are buying these dates and holding these dates. So the anticipation is that things are going to be a sieve come Labor Day weekend. Now, whether or not that continues, it's all back to Barry's point. Does the vaccine and the political will all change by summer? Now, October, November, December is operating as if things are back to normal. And I hate to say it that way, but that's how they're going to operate. And to the point, the venues would need some sort of legal cover. They don't know yet. The deals don't necessarily look the same as before, and they don't quite know how that's going to shake out. But as far as their culpability on somebody walking in and getting some sort of sickness from it, it won't be on them. And from everybody that I've heard from, they're not going to require vaccine cards. It's not going to be a show us your ID before you walk in. No, you're going to walk in, you're going to see a sign that says, you do this at your own risk, and that's going to be about it. And it's going to what I was saying earlier, the political will / idea of people just not caring anymore because 2/3 of the population has had a vaccine. Yeah, the rest of the third is going to take the risk if they want to be a part of it. Now, with that's for small venues. I'm still not totally sure how that transfers to large-scale events yet.
Right.
Now, you get a 2,000-seat venue, 1,500-seat venue. That's one thing. I don't know if that translates to 80K. I don't. I haven't been able to ascertain if one has to do with the other. And frankly, I don't even know what my gut says about it. But what I do know is the industry / the venues are operating as if come Labor Day weekend, everything is wide open. The holds are 3, sometimes 4 deep. And these are not just middle of the road acts. These are major acts that are, you know, signing up for 3-4 dates in some cities. One other thing about the touring thing. It's going to be country first. And I sort of said that maybe a year ago, that the kind of fans that country has, they're going to be the ones that are going to be more willing to go out. Well, that's totally come true. You've got Chris Stapleton absolutely doing a tour come May, June. And it's going to be country and amphitheater dates first and foremost that get booked and that already have been booked. And those dates that were missed in 2020, they're the ones that are going to, and they're going to basically be the petri dish, the test dummies, the crash test dummies of all of this. Let's see if, you know, what happens when we put large scale events like this together, medium scale events together. Let's see how that goes and use the country audience to, you know, be our guinea pigs on this. So that's sort of the lay of the land and what I've gleaned from the last couple of weeks.
Well, several things. I mean, we did say that back start of the summer that it would be the country acts. And we saw that with a lot of the drive-ins. It was a lot of country acts, drive-in theaters, things like that. And I think they feel somewhat emboldened that those worked. They were able to perform from all I hear, except for few instances, maybe they were pretty safe. You know, they seem to work. So that makes perfect sense. The one caveat is I'm hearing, and I don't know about you guys, but, you know, for a long time you were hearing people say, do you really know anybody that's gotten the disease? And in the last 5 weeks, people aren't saying that anymore. Not only do they know people, they know people who have died from it. That would be the one sort of thing, if that continues, could put a delay, if not a hold, on what you're talking about. Sure. I talked to, after you and I spoke, and you told me this, I called our local theater people over at the Tivoli and Auditorium, which is our 1,700 and 3,700 seat capacity venues. And they're hearing the same thing. Definitely September, October, they're starting to book shows, booking shows beyond that even. They don't, we're a mid-market. So they're, you know, the idea of 3 and 4 holds per date, we don't have that. But what he did tell me, and I found this interesting, is they're very hopeful that because the acts have not toured, which means they're not getting paid, their crew's not been getting paid, you know, all of that down the line, like we talked about since March, that instead of doing 50 days on a tour, they might do 80, which would be good for a Chattanooga market's our size. Mm-hmm. And also because of our proximity to Atlanta and Nashville, maybe we'll get some of those shows that want to come out and do a test before they go to New Orleans or New York or whatever. So the point that I took from our conversation, you and me, and my conversation with the Tivoli folks, is that finally there's real talk being had, real contracts, whether they're in pencil or not. Are, you know, they're finally looking at it. Now, my question is, they've been doing that all year. I mean, there's a lot of those two venues that I talked about. They didn't take some of the shows off of their online schedules, even for this past summer, just because they didn't want, you know, they wanted to hold out hope. So it sounds like I'm talking out of both sides, and I am, because quite honestly, nobody really knows, but
we've been working with a moving target for the last, you know, 6 to 8 months. And this very well might be another moving target, but, you know, it does feel different. The conversation feels different. Exactly. And you've got, when you say hold, let me try to explain if you don't know what a hold is. So Barry has a band, he calls insert venue and says, I want this date. Then Lord Taco calls and says he wants the same date. And then Brad calls and he wants that date too. Barry's 1, Taco's 2, Brad's 3. Well, when Brad gets really serious and wants to start routing things, he's going to challenge Taco. And the venue is going to call Taco and say, well, do you really want it? If you really want it, then we need to see something in writing. Because Brad is pushing, and he really wants the date. That's when Taco will either bow out, and I will become 2, or he'll hold on to his spot, thinking that Barry is going to back out. So Taco, based on my pressure, will then pressure Barry and challenge his date if he really wants it. So it's that jockeying for trying to get a certain date so a certain route can work. And that starts putting the pieces together as to how serious this becomes. And, you know, I guess the thing that I was sort of more stunned by than anything is not just the talk and not just the holds, but it was the level of artists that I was hearing going back out on the road. I honestly, and this is where I got it wrong, I thought it was going to just be local bands at first. You know, they were going to try and do small cap shows for, you know, some local and regional bands. That's not what it's going to be. These are major players doing major dates. And, you know, I think that's the part that sort of took me by surprise more than anything. Mm-hmm. One in particular in New Orleans, you know, it's I just can't tell you how big this show is going to be. You've got The Weeknd, who just announced his entire world tour a couple weeks ago, which is absolutely going to happen. I mean, if you get a level like The Weeknd investing this kind of time, energy, resources into putting a tour together, yes, a lot of that work has already been done. But, you know, The Weeknd stepping out and saying this is what we're going, that's a big step. So, yeah, it's the level of artists that sort of surprised me.
Yeah. I mean, in that, yes. And I think also the point about the numbers of shows, like my Nick at the Tivoli told me, was I hadn't thought of that. And back to your point about routing, you and I talked about this a little bit the other day. For people who don't know that, I mean, try to picture a map and a manager, you know, he's looking at a map trying to figure out how he can travel down the highway and do a show every single night within usually 90 minutes of each other. You know, they want to do one in New Orleans and then drive an hour and a half and be ready for the next night. They don't want nights off, and they don't want to drive, you know, 8 hours one way and then come back seven. So they try to, you know, make a as straight a line as they can. And so when you said that to me about the holds, my first reaction was, that's really good. And then I thought, that's really complicated. Yeah. You know, imagine, as I think I said to you, Russ's band really wants New Orleans and gets it. And then the next night, the only one they can get because it's so complicated is in Milwaukee. That's a long drive.
It's a long drive. You know, it actually hit me. You know who would be interesting to talk to? We need to get a booking agent on the horn and talk about how that sort that spaghetti gets, you know, unwound and put on the plate. I think that'd be fascinating to hear how a tour is really put together, especially in a time like this.
I totally agree.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Remind me of that. Don't let me forget that idea, because we can make some calls.
So the other thing, just to throw it in, because it's interesting, the Nick, who I talked to, they actually have three venues, the Tivoli and the Auditorium. And inside the Auditorium is a 850-seat theater upstairs. And he's talking and hopeful that not only would they get, you know, one show every night, they might get two, which, again, in a city our size, they do that every now and then, but they don't do it a lot because it stresses them staff-wise. You know, and also market wise. I mean, how many, that's the other sort of question is.
Yeah, there's only so many dollars that can be spent.
Correct. It's correct. You know, and we all are ready to get out and do, but can we afford, you know, to see every show that might be coming down the way in the fall?
Yeah, and we talked about that. I mean, there's only going to be, you know, there's going to be an appetite for all of it, but, you know, you can't eat everything on the menu.
Right. And the other thing, back to your point about festivals. And the cards. First of all, I agree with you. I don't think the cards, the logistics of that are staggering.
Plus, by the way, you were 19. Yeah. You know how many fake IDs I had at 19?
Exactly.
You know how easy just getting a fake ID was? Yeah. Imagine getting a fake vaccine card. We could whip it up in 10 minutes.
Well, that's right. And the other is, I mean, I'm not going to drive, as some of our guests have told us, 17 hours, you know, and then be turned away because my card is not legit, or I've got a slight fever, or whatever the criteria is at that time. I mean, would I even buy the ticket, with the knowledge that I was going to have to drive 17 hours and hope that I don't get sick type of thing? So, yeah, there's a lot still to be figured out.
That's why I brought up the sort of political / human reality at the beginning. You know, if you know, it's going to be on you as a human being. I think once we get to 200 million people with a shot in their arm, are you willing now to risk it? And at some point, you know, this, the government can only protect you so much. You know, that I hate to be, you know, too harsh about it, but you know, I think that you're going to have to start asking yourself if this is something that you want to do. Now it goes back to, you know, Bonnaroo come October, September, when the Bonnaroo date is there, and we're actually, you know, come August or July, really looking at if this is a real thing. I don't know yet. And I can't say with confidence that I would feel totally okay about it.
No. And that will be another guess that we will have. And I've reached out. They don't have any news. In fact, speaking of Ken, I talked to Ken knowing we were going to talk, because I'm hearing the rumors that the lineup announcements are soon or some other announcements, and he said that he doesn't know. Now, he's never led me wrong yet, so if he doesn't know, I'm assuming nobody knows. But that is the other thing. What I was going to say is, we haven't talked to the Bonnaroo people yet to find out what changes they will make. You know what I mean? We've joked about it before that going in the past was suspect because of porta potties and the FEMA showers and all of that. Now with this reality, you know, even the people that weren't germaphobes or squeamish or whatever before, I'm going to guess have to at least have it in the back of their mind. So there's that to deal with also.
So talk about going out of both sides of your mouth. Follow me for a second here. there was a part of me that believes that Bonnaroo is going to happen in September. Then there's a part of me that understands the realities that festivals are going to be a lot harder to pull off than a show at the Joy Theater in New Orleans. There's just way too much planning that has to go into it for so many months beforehand. And you have to be absolutely confident when you put a lineup out, when you put a ticket on sale date out, that you can fulfill a lot of this. Because, you know, how many times are you going to ask somebody to go through these things? So you buy the ticket, hear the lineup, get canceled. How many times is that going to work? I mean, look at Hangout. I mean, good for them. Lollapalooza. You think that Lollapalooza needs to be happening now. You know, their festival's in August. They need to be putting tickets out on sale now. They need to have a plan for, you know, website exposure, artist planning, hotel holds. You know, they need to have all of that, government contracts. They need to have that right now. Six months in advance.
And sorry to interrupt, but and you may be heading this way, but we've also pointed out that a lot of people have been laid off. They're not working.
That's right.
And if you don't understand, I mean, it's a 365 job to do one festival.
Yeah, and, I mean, Lord Taco might have a bus. Lord Taco might have a bus in the garage, but the bus needs an engine. They don't have the horsepower. They don't have the people exactly. That can pull a lot of this stuff off. Exactly. A small venue can't, you know, they can do that and they can pull in people pretty quickly. So there's a part of me that thinks that it's going to happen because the environment's going to look different come September, but also there is, you know, months and months and months of planning that needs to be done before then that is going to be too confusing and too worrisome. Whereas, you know, if the revivalists go on tour, it's going to be a little easier. Just a tad easier. It's not easy, but it's a little easier to cancel a revivalist tour than it is to, you know, start the process and get the ball rolling of a festival and then pull the plug on it. So I just don't know. I really don't know. I think if you asked me 2 weeks ago if Bonnaroo was going to happen, I'd say yes. Things have just gotten better, and now I'm waffling on it a little bit more. Like, I'm going back and forth, and I don't know. I don't mean to say it that way. Let me put it this way. If again, I'm looking at the situation confusingly, I can't imagine what they're anticipating.
Well, and
with no staff, by the way.
That's where I don't see it being a 80,000. I don't see how it can. I don't see how they can get the manpower together to do that.
If that's the case, they're not going to do it. You heard Cuellar say that Bonnaroo happens. Well, I'm paraphrasing. Bonnaroo happens one way.
Yeah,
none. They're not going to do a half Bonnaroo.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, what I was going to add to that is getting the manpower, getting 80,000, and there probably are 80,000 people that would do it. Like you mentioned, there are college kids out there. But also getting the bands. I think you and I, again, when we talked on the phone the other day, we still don't know whether the European bands will travel, if they can travel. That sort of thing. So there's a lot of moving parts, as we've said since March. I don't think, not to pat ourselves on the back too much, but I don't think we've been far wrong on anything that we've predicted or shared with anybody. So just to sort of put a fine point on it, the conversation you had, the conversation I had with industry people, the conversation that you and I had together, definitely does feel like we've turned some sort of corner, and the dialogue is different than it was.
We'll see what happens. So yeah, that's a good point. I'm glad you reminded me of this. There's probably a skeptic out there that hears somebody say, you know, the industry is planning on the fall being wide open and saying, well, they're just so desperate that they would say this just to get something going. There's a possibility of that. And I think that that is a fair point to make. But I think that that point would have been more correct 4 to 6 weeks ago.
And they were doing it.
This feels, I mean, real. An actual different. This just feels different. This feels absolutely different than it did 6 weeks ago when the same people could have argued, yeah, we're going to be there in the fall. I think the fall is going to be fine. No, they are absolutely expecting the fall to be different. And I think that they would be stunned if they weren't running pretty much full capacity by October. What else is going on? Anything else that we're missed? Anything else we missed through the afternoon?
No, we have some ideas, obviously, for guests. We have some ideas for show topics that I'm pretty excited about. I'm very excited about that will involve listeners. I'm excited about where we got going.
Yeah.
Where this is going. I'm excited about.
Yeah, I mean, whether or not what happens with Bonnaroo this year, the podcast will certainly continue.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, of course. I mean, I'm going to call you guys.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not like I'm not gonna look. I can't just sit here and talk to myself. I gotta talk to you guys at some point, don't I?
Yeah.
Well, nobody in this house wants to hear me talk anymore.
No, I'm ready. I'm ready to get back and talk to you guys on the regular and a lot more of our listeners and get into this thing. So
let me ask you this: just a side question. If it was available to you, and Bonnaroo happens in September, and it was available to you that you got a hotel, would you do it?
Instead of camping?
Yeah.
Well, that's a good question.
I don't know. To me, camping is such a big part of the experience.
It is, but it's also a different experience this year.
Yeah.
Well, also, by the way, I mean, Taco's got a moving hotel. I mean, he can just take a bus wherever he wants to. Yeah. Barry's a little differently. I mean, he's part of the 65 and older crowd that should have already gotten his vaccine.
Yeah, I think. I'm not that old. It's a good question. And I mean, you can ask it a lot of different ways. What sort of changes would I hope to see? What sort of changes will I accept, you know, if they limit? I don't want to even try to speculate, but it would definitely be a different festival. And then I would have to ask myself, well, if I'm just going to see live music, would I rather be going to a venue, or is it because they have a particular favorite band that I want to see?
I think the question I'm actually asking is, are you willing to do Bonnaroo different just to go? Are you willing to do it in a way that doesn't feel normal to you just for the sake of going? And I don't know what the answer is for me,
you know. And it's a great question, and again, it goes back to I'm 57 miles away. It's a whole lot easier for me, and I'm in Chattanooga.
57 years old.
I am 57 years old. And you're in New Orleans, you know what I mean? So if you can see the same band a mile from your house, and do you want to go? I mean, that's a good question. It's a really good question.
You know, especially, oh, by the way, yeah, the other thing is, you know, Jazz Fest is happening in October. Voodoo Fest is happening in October. French Quarter Fest is happening in October. If you think that New Orleans is the only town that is rearranging their schedule for the fall, every other town's doing it too. So, boy, if I've got a packed fall and I've got Bonnaroo in September, you know, what is the appetite of doing all of this at once?
By the way, is it true what I think I heard how they're going to do Mardi Gras? Decorate the houses instead
of
floats?
Yeah, we've got it.
That's an awesome idea.
We've been going out every week. It's called Yardi Gras. They decorate the houses. There's even one person in particular, and I saw this the other day, that will put a temporary wrap on your car, and your car can be its own Cardi Gras float. The house thing is actually, at first I thought it was really stupid, and I thought, oh, this is just going to be for rich people. But it's actually turned out to be really, really cool. The crews, the way that a lot of the parades work is every parade is operated by a specific crew.
Right.
Like the crew of muses is the girl or the girls that throw the shoes that they decorate out from the float. So like the crew of muses get all of their people to decorate their houses. Now, They have to incur the cost, just like they have to incur the cost on shoes. But more often than not, if you've got the money to pay a crew to be part of a crew, then you've got a few dollars to spend on making a house float. So the crews, each one of them are organizing the different house floats, but they look great. It's a ton of fun. It's a way to like get outside and feel like you're still doing something. The problem is, and it came out yesterday, our mayor is, you know, she is simultaneously the most frustrating and angering person on the planet. And then at the same time, you're like, oh, but man, she really, really is keeping the city safe. Yesterday, she came out and shut down all of the bars in New Orleans from Friday to Fat Tuesday. She's shutting down all the bars, all because Bourbon Street is making us look foolish. We've got a lot of tourists that come and hang out on Bourbon Street and just are packed. It's packed down there on the weekends. Well, she's really screwing over the rest of the city by shutting down for 5 days, Barry. 5 days, a bar who's just now getting back to some sort of semblance of making money. Shutting them down for 5 days
before
is
Fat Tuesday.
On the biggest day of the year, the day that they were trying to make their money back from, you know, the last 3-4 months.
Yeah.
You know, they've already ordered all the beer. They've already ordered all the drinks. And then they, you know, a week out. By the way, next weekend, you're all shut down. It's horrendous. Absolutely horrendous. And it's set the city on fire. But, you know, but here's the thing. Like, people, I love this city because it's so reflective of the Bonnaroo spirit, if I could tie it back to the podcast, in that, you know, they're going to find a way.
Yeah.
The city will find a way to celebrate life and to be happy and to and to essentially party just like Bonnaroo, you know?
That's why I brought it up.
Find a way.
That's why I brought it up. I think that when I heard that, I thought that's a great idea. And you said, Jazz Fest last year, everybody turned on their radios and opened their windows. And one of the stations did a best of type of thing. That's really cool.
The Jazz Fest in place. And to piggyback on that, and it's because they did such a great job of it. Our station did, you know, Voodoo Fest at home. You do voodoo with you. So, you know, we're figuring it out. We're figuring it out as a medium. But more often than not, even the Bonnaroo community, when Bonnaroo didn't happen, look what happened. You know, with Bonnarooians and how they celebrated Bonnaroo weekend, you know, all together. We did it. We did something. And this city is a good reflection of it.
I'm looking forward to talking to Jeff Cuellar, you mentioned, and those guys, Brian and Steven. And, you know, they've had time. They've had nothing but time to think about how to come out of this and what kind of cool things they can do and will do. So I definitely think it's going to be different.
There's a want and then there's a cost.
Well, but
the cost
I'll say
is going to be a problem because it turns out nobody's made any money in the last
year. No doubt. But I will say after, 20 years of this, they usually come through with something pretty cool.
I think that we should probably, I hate to extend this any longer, but we would have already had a lineup by now.
Yeah.
We would have been long into season. Are we in season 4? Would this be season 4?
We're in season 4. Yeah,
so we would long be into season 4 by now. You know, February would come and we would almost have lineup additions by now. That's fascinating to me. And we still, you know, if I know people want to say that a lineup is close to being dropped, I'm putting my money on it's not even close. I put my money on lineup and ticket availability is going to come probably June.
I won't say when, but sort of given the information you just got with all these bands and holds, I'd say you're right. I would say probably a lot of the bands have reached out to Bonnaroo and they're number one. And then they're trying to look at all the other places they can go from here. Mm-hmm. But they're doing it with any other festival that's coming up too.
Well,
that's a thing. I mean, you mentioned Hangout, which they're not going to do, but Summerfest and is going to be the same. They're all going to need acts. Mm-hmm. So it's going.
Well, I'll tell you this. Here's what I know. I know that I'll learn more about what the festival landscape looks like over the next probably 5 to 7 days. So when I learn that, I will, of course, share it with you as soon as I know it. All right. How about that? I'll make you that promise.
Right. Cool.
All right. Patreon levels. We're going to get those this week, too. New Patreon levels.
We're going to figure that out.
Yeah, I think we can get that worked out.
New gear, new Patreon levels, new website, store.whatpodcast.com. Is that what it is? Store.thewhatpodcast.com.
Shop.thewhatpodcast.com.
Oh, shop. Okay. Shop.thewhatpodcast.com. You know what? It turns out I should have been listening.
Don't start now.
Well, we'll have a link on the screen. We'll have links in the description. We'll tweet it out.
Mm-hmm.
We'll try to get the word out. And we're going to have a discount code for Patreons. If you want to buy a little extra merch, or if you missed out, you can get a discount on the store.
Good idea. Good idea. Look at Taco being so... Like running a small business over there in that bus.
Trying to make some money.
What else are you selling out of there? Dryer doors? What are you selling?
Yeah, I probably got some stuff back here.
Taco, Barry, and Brad, thanks for joining us on the What Podcast. We'll talk to you soon.
Journey through the stories that define the artists playing Bonnaroo. Who are they? What are they? What will you see? The what? Which bands? This year, that matter.
Yay.
With Brad Steiner and Barry Corder.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.